and ears. Lord, help us to be able to put aside any preconceived ideas, any notions that we might have already been taught, Lord, and just want to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Well, we're there in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, and this morning I'm preaching a very topical type sermon on a very specific subject, not something that I preach on a lot. In fact, I can only think of one other time over 2 years now that I preached on this subject, and I want to teach our church about this because it actually affects us every time we meet as a congregation and gather together. But I want you to understand why we do what we do. Now, what you need to understand going into it is that Verity Baptist Church is a biblicist type church. And you say, what does it mean to be a biblicist? What that means is that we derive everything we do, not just what we believe, but what we do has to come from the Bible. Now, you say a lot of churches say that they're biblicists. Right. But a lot of churches, and I'm not attacking other churches this morning, a lot of places will do things that the Bible doesn't teach to do. And that's what we try to not do at Verity Baptist Church, even sometimes to our own detriment. Now, at Verity Baptist Church, what I'm preaching about this morning is the subject of the fact that our church is a family integrated church. Who's ever heard that term before? Family integrated. Okay? Some of you have. That's good. You know, you may say, well, I don't know what family integrated church is, or what does it mean? You know, you may be asking yourself, well, what is a family integrated church? Well, a family integrated church is a church, just to put it in, and it's deeper than this, but just to put it, give you a basic general understanding, it is a church that keeps the entire family together, including children, for the church service. So when we meet together, everyone, from a small baby to the oldest individual, we all stay together for a service. What family integrated means is that a family integrated church offers no children's ministries. We do not offer any ministries where the children are separated into another classroom with another individual. We keep the entire family together. You say, well, why would you do that? Well, you got to ask yourself a question about the modern day children's ministries. Now, let me say something about modern day children's ministries. I do not believe, and I'm not of the mindset, that churches and people that offer modern children's ministries are bad people. I believe some of them are just doing what they've been taught. I believe some of them are doing what they think is right. I don't believe they're bad people. I don't believe they're evil people. But I'm telling you this, I don't believe that a children's ministry concept is rooted in the Bible. Now, you got to understand this. A big part of church today, modern day churches, are the children's ministries. Most churches offer them. If the number one question that I get asked when somebody calls our church and wants to find out questions is, what type of children's ministries do you offer? That's probably the number one question that I get asked. This is a huge concept in churches today. But you've got to ask yourself this question. Are children's ministries a biblical ministry? And what I mean by that is, are they found in the Bible? Amen. Now, at Verity Baptist Church, we offer no children's ministries. At Verity Baptist Church, we follow the family-integrated position or concept. And I want to give you three reasons this morning in regards to why we at Verity Baptist Church are a family-integrated church. You may agree with it. You may not agree with it. You may not agree with it now and agree with it at the end of the sermon. You may agree with it now and not agree with it at the end of the sermon. Hopefully that's not the case. But I want you to, my goal is for you to at least understand our position, understand why we do what we do, and hopefully you'll see the scripture pattern. So number one this morning, if you're taking notes, number one, I want you to understand the position of a family-integrated church. What is the position of a family-integrated church? And what I mean by that is, what do we believe? Why do we structure our ways? You got to understand this. Everything in a Bible-believing church must flow from the Word of God. Everything must be found in Scripture. The Bible is our authority. Man's concepts are not our authority. Man's philosophies are not our authority. And you've got to understand this. Whether it works or whether it doesn't work, whether it's successful or whether it's not successful, whether it's convenient or whether it's not convenient, is not the question. The question is it a biblical philosophy? Did it come from the Bible? Now, what you do is this. As a pastor, when we started Verity Baptist Church, and I had to decide, are we going to offer children's ministry? What I did was this. I set aside any preconceived ideas. I set aside anything I've ever been taught, anything I'd ever seen, anything I'd ever done. And I said, well, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at what the Word of God says. And I want to give you a few examples in regards to the Family Integrated Church being a scriptural position. You're there in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Great chapter, has a lot of things you could preach through. But let me show you verse number 9. Go back to verse number 9. Now, you got to understand this, and I don't have time to develop this. You can study this out on your own. The word church literally means congregation or assembly. The word church means a called out assembly, a gathering together. The word congregation is used interchangeably with the word church in the Bible. All right, a congregation is a group of people congregating together. You ever heard of the United States Congress? Okay, it's individuals coming together. That's what a church is. A church is not a building. A church is not a concept. A church is not an idea. A church, a biblical church, is simply this. A group of believers coming together for the purposes of singing praises and studying and learning and understanding Scripture. That's what a church is. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9, the Bible says, "And Moses wrote this law," talking about the Word of God, "and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel." So here we find Moses is literally, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writing Scripture. And he writes the law, and he gives it to the elders of Israel. He gives it to the priests. The spiritual leadership, verse 10, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacle, when," notice verse 11, "when all," do you see that word "all" there? "When all Israel is come." Okay, so he's instructing them. He just gave them the Bible. And he's saying, at this set time, when the entire congregation, the entire, all the children of Israel come. Look what it says, verse 11. "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." Do you see that? So he said, I'm going to give you the Bible, and what I want you to do is when the whole congregation comes together, I want you to read the Bible so that all Israel can hear it. By the way, that's why we read the Bible at church. Sometimes people get upset. Do you guys really have to read an entire chapter before you get into the sermon? You know, my question is this. What did you come to church for? We come to church to hear the Word. To learn the Bible, to hear it preach. And we read the entire chapter so you can get in its context so you don't think that I'm trying to, trick you or something. When we read verses 9 through 12 or whatever we're going to look at, you've already read the entire chapter so you understand the context. Look at verse 11, Deuteronomy 31:11. "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which I shall choose," look what it says, "thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." Verse 12, notice what he says, "gather the people together." And just to make sure you don't miss anyone, he lists for you who he wants you to gather. He says, "men and women and," what's that next word say? "Children." Let's read that together. "Men and women and," what's that say? "Children. And thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law." So, in Deuteronomy 31, when the assembly came together, when the congregation gathered together, when the church met, and they were hearing the Word of God, God said, here's the people I want to be in the service. I want men, I want women, and I want children. Now, keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 31. We're going to come back to it, okay? But go to the book of Ezra in the Old Testament there. Ezra, chapter number 10. I'm going to give you a few examples of this. The first example is that of Moses gathering the people. Let me give you another example. Ezra, chapter number 10. Ezra, chapter number 10. The second example is of Ezra assembling the people as well. Ezra chapter number 10, look at verse 1. Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, so Ezra is getting right with God here, and getting the people ready to get right with God. He's been fasting, he's been praying, he's been weeping. Look what it says. There assembled, that's a congregation, unto him, out of Israel, a very great congregation. Notice what it says. Of men and women and, what's that next word say? Children. Of men and women and, let's say it again, children. For the people wept very sore. So we saw Moses gather the congregation, and it was a religious service. They were teaching the Bible. And he says, I want men, I want women, I want children. Ezra gathers the people together for a religious purpose. And he says, I want the men, I want the women, I want the children. Let me give you another example. Go to the Old Testament book of Joel, towards the end of the Old Testament. Joel, that it's a minor prophet, short book there towards the end. Joel chapter number 2. We saw the example of Moses. We saw the example of Ezra. Let's see the example of Joel. Joel chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. Joel chapter number 2, verse 15. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. I mean, can it get any more clear than this? He's saying, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Look what it says. Gather the children. Notice what it says. Gather the children. Now, sometimes people say this. Well, do you really need to have the little children in the service? Can't we just kind of have a nursery where we put the little ones? Look what it says. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Okay, what is that? That's a small child, a baby, that is still being nursed by its mother. And Joel said, I want you to get everybody together. He said, I want you to gather the elders. He said, get the old people. He said, get the children. Get those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. He said, gather everybody. That is the pattern that we have in Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter number 19. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay, let's look at the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is having a public ministry. Oftentimes we see Jesus dealing with individuals in a private way. And oftentimes we see Him preaching and speaking to people in a public way. He's having a public ministry. You know what Verity Baptist Church is having right now? A public ministry. Amen. We are speaking publicly, expounding upon the Word of God. That's what Jesus was doing. Notice what happened. Matthew 19. Look at verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. And then were there brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. Now notice the disciples. They weren't good. They weren't that good of ushers. You know what I mean? And the disciples rebuked them. So these families are bringing their children to Jesus publicly, in a public setting, and saying, here, will you pray? Will you put your hands on my child? And the disciples are like, get those kids out of here. They're distracting. Get them over to the children's church. They're gonna disrupt the service. Now notice what Jesus said. Verse 14. And Jesus said, suffer. Now the word suffer means allow. He says, allow little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Go to Mark chapter number 10. You're there in Matthew. Go to Mark chapter number 10. Look at verse 13. And by the way, I'm going to show you three parallels to the same story. But I'm going to show you why you need to study the whole Bible. Mark chapter number 10. Look at verse 13. Mark 10, 13. And they brought young children. Okay, so in Matthew it said little children. Here it tells us young children. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. So the disciples said, no, don't bring those kids here. Get those kids out of here. The disciples rebuked them, verse 14. And when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, notice what He says, suffer, allow the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Go to Luke chapter number 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 18. Look at verse number 15. Luke chapter number 18. Verse number 15. Luke chapter number 18, verse 15. Luke 18, 15, the Bible says, and they brought unto Him also Here God even goes into further description. They brought unto Him also, I'll wait for you to get there because I want you to see this, Luke chapter 18, verse 15, and they brought unto Him also infants. Do you see that? Okay, so Matthew was little children. Mark was young children. Luke is infants. You know what an infant is? It's younger than a toddler. Okay, a toddler is a child who's just learning to walk, right? He's not really walking. He's more toddling. Okay, that's why they call him a toddler. An infant is a child that can't walk. Okay, the word infant has to do with your legs. Like, you ever heard of the infantry? Okay, the army, the soldiers that are on foot, marching. Okay, that word has to do with walking. So an infant is a child who cannot walk. Is it younger than, I mean, what's a toddler? Below, you know, a 1 year old and above. A child begins to learn to walk around 1 year old, some a little sooner, some a little older. An infant is younger than a 1 year old. Luke 18:15 says, and they brought unto Him also an infant, that He would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, suffer, allow little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. So here's the question. Does it sound like Jesus is kicking out the little kids out of the service? Does it sound like Jesus is saying, get that little child out of here? Get that little infant? See, Jesus understood that in the Old Testament, whenever the congregation met, they met with the entire family together. And you got to understand this. At Berry Baptist Church, we endeavor to pattern ourselves by the example set forth in the Scripture. We're not saying we're better than anyone else. We're not saying we're better than the church down the street, although we are. But we're not saying that, okay? But what we are saying is this, that we endeavor to do what the Bible says to do. And when you remove all preconceived ideas, when you forget of everything you've ever seen in modern day churches, and simply allow the Bible to show you how to conduct a church service. And what I mean by church is a gathering, a congregation, a meeting of people. You will find it very clear that whenever God's people met in the Bible, children were present. Amen. Let me give you another example, and I'm not going to have you turn there. But in Ephesians, actually, you know what, let's go ahead and turn there. Go to Ephesians. I changed my mind. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, in the book, Paul wrote letters to the churches of the New Testament. He wrote the book of Romans to the church at Rome. He wrote the book of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. He wrote the book of Galatians to the church at Galatia. Okay, when he would write these letters, he would expect them to read the letters out loud to the congregation, just like we do here. If I'm preaching through the book of Ephesians, we read the book of Ephesians. If you come back tonight, we're preaching through the book of Judges. We're in Judges chapter 14. Before I begin to expound upon Judges 14, we will read the entire chapter to the congregation. That's what Paul expected them to do. So he wrote the book of Ephesians to the church of Ephesus, and he expected them to read it to the people. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. And we're going to talk about this tonight, actually, but let me just show you this, okay? Paul is addressing the people in the congregation because he's teaching them through his letters. So he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And it's like he's speaking to them, okay? Because he knows that they're going to read this letter. So he's telling the wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is a subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, so Paul is addressing because he assumes that at the church of Ephesus, there are going to be wives sitting there listening to his letter. So he addresses the wives. He assumes there's going to be husbands sitting in the congregation. So he addresses the husbands. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul is addressing the children in his letter. Paul is assuming that the kids are sitting in the service and he can address them during the sermon and the preaching. He says, children, obey. He's talking to the kids. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, so the pattern in Scripture, Paul didn't say, oh, and by the way, send this other letter to the children's church. Send this, I'm going to give you another letter here. Send that to the Sunday school department. No, he addresses them right with the mom and dad. He expects the kids to be sitting in the service with mom and dad. The pattern in the Bible is that they met for church. Now here's the question I have for you. Say, you know, people say,
Well, aren't all church biblicists?
Okay, here's a question I have for you. Show me a Sunday school in the Bible. Show me a children's church in the Bible. If you will show it to me, I will do it. I want to do it. You know how many people have left our church because we don't have Sunday school? Because we don't have a nursery? But I can't do it because I've already established that this is my authority. I've already established that this is what gives us the pattern of what we do. And if you can show me in the Bible where they met together for the purposes of church and they separated the children, then guess what? We'll do it next week. But the problem is this. You can't find it in the Bible. All you find in the Bible is mom, dad, child, family, together, integrated in the church. That's what the Bible says. That's the pattern. So you say, why is Verity a family integrated church? Because it is the scriptural position. But not only is Verity a family integrated church because it's a scriptural position, go to the book of Jude. Jude, right before the book of Revelation, you got Jude. Not only is Verity Baptist Church a family integrated church because it is the scriptural position, Verity Baptist Church is a family integrated church because it is the safe position. Say, what are you talking about? Are you there in Jude? The Bible warns that wicked people creep into churches for lustful desires. Are you aware of that? Are you there in Jude? Jude is written about the false prophets. We're studying through the book of Jude on Wednesday night. I don't want to go through Jude a lot, but let me just give you some highlights. Look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Do you see that? Jude is telling us there will be certain men crept in unawares in the church, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The word lascivious means given to lust or sexual desire. So the Bible says here that certain men will be crept in unaware for the purpose they're going to creep into the church unaware, meaning you're not going to be aware. You're going to look at them, they're going to look normal, they're going to look fine, they're going to look great, but they're there for the purposeness of lasciviousness, of fulfilling a lust or a sexual desire and denying the Lord, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 8. Look what it says about these men that have crept in unawares. Jude 1:8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers, look what it says, defile the flesh. Despise dominion. Speak evil of dignity. Skip down to verse 16. Jude 16. These are murmurers. Complainers. Look what it says. Walking after their own lust. And their mouths speak a great swelling words, having men's persons and admiration because of advantage. Look at verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Look at verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. Look what it says. Sensual, having not the Spirit. Are they saved? No, they're not. What's their goal? Sensuality. What's their goal? Lust. What's their goal? Defiling the flesh. What's their goal? Lasciviousness. You gotta understand, I'm not preaching this to scare you. It's just the reality that in a church setting, there will be those who have crept in unawares. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. I showed on Wednesday night, I'm not going to do it tonight or this morning, but I showed on Wednesday night how 2 Peter and chapter 2 are parallel passages. They deal with a lot of the same things. It's almost, it's uncanny how parallel they are. And in 2 Peter chapter number 2, he's also describing false prophets. Look what he says. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly, look what it says. Them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Look at verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Do you see that? Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. You gotta understand this. Many predators of children come to church with the intent of having access to children to defile them. Look, it's the truth. Look at verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Look what it says. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Look what this says. Beguiling. The word beguiling means deceiving or tricking. Beguiling unstable souls. That could be a reference to a small child. It says beguiling unstable souls and heart effect they have exercised with covetous practices curses children. You do not need to look very far to find that children are being molested and attacked on a regular basis all across our nation at churches. Because predators are attracted to children's ministries. You say, well, we're going to know when a bad person comes in. Oh, really? I always use this example. The apostles, Peter, John, did not even know that Judas Iscariot was a devil. Jesus knew. They had no clue. Jesus almost spells it out for them at the Last Supper there. He says, you know, the man that takes up the sod, you know, and they're still like, well, who is it? I don't get it. Like, he had them so fooled. Judas Iscariot. You think you're going to just, well, I'm going to recognize. Let me tell you something. You think, well, I know what a pervert looks like. Perverts look like normal people. They act like normal people. They talk the talk. They walk. Look, I'm not saying we need to be judging each other. I'm not saying we need to be, so-and-so. Look, anyone that comes to Verity Baptist Church, you got to accept them. You got to love them. You got to welcome them in. But here's what you got to understand. Understand that there are certain men that have crept in unawares. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to warn you. It's the reality of life. Children have been molested by pastors and priests and Sunday school teachers and children's church workers for decades. You say, well, what do you do at Verity Baptist Church? Well, see, at Verity Baptist Church, what we've done is we've drastically decreased the opportunity of a predator to attack a child. You know why? Because we keep the entire congregation together, the whole service. There aren't children being put off in some room with some guy. Well, why no, brother? Look, I'm not attacking those people. They're good people. Most of them are good people. I'm not saying they're bad people, but some of them are bad people. And at Verity Baptist Church, there is not that opportunity. You know why? Children are always with the person who's going to take the very most care and security for them. They're always with mom and dad at Verity Baptist Church. They're never off in some room. They're never off somewhere by themselves. They're always, you just got to understand this. The position of being family integrated is not only a scriptural position, it is the safest position for a child. Amen. To be with their mom. To be with their dad. To be with the people that are going to take care of them. So we said, number one, the position of a family integrated church, what we believe. That's what we believe. But at number two, I want to say this. The parents of a family-integrated church need to be warned. Say, why is that? Because, see, the reason that the family-integrated position is not popular, you want to know why it's not popular? Because it requires work from you, mom and dad. There is something that is expected from you. See, it's easy to bring a child to church and say, where do I drop this thing off? Can you keep him after, you know, can I come back after lunch? You know what I mean? That's easy. That's simple. Having a child sit in the church service is hard work. There is something that's expected of you, mom and dad. So if you're going to be part of a family integrated church and you're a parent, you need to understand that there's something expected of you. Two things expected of you. Number one, parents need to discipline their children. You know that children can be taught to obey, listen, and sit still? You say, I don't think that. Let me give you a quote. We don't get much from our children because we don't expect much from our children. Amen. You give excuses for why your child can't do something and he'll never do that. When you expect from your children and you give them the resources and the encouragement that they need, they will perform. Children are smarter than you think they are. Children are more talented than you think they are. But you got to understand this, okay? Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And let me say this right now. I'm going to get to it in the sermon later in the sermon, but let me say this right now. A family integrated church needs to, the reason that this type of sermon needs to be preached is because all of you that don't have children, or you do have children but they're grown, it's easy for you to forget how much of a brat your little one was. It's easy for you. Well, if that was my child, well, the funny thing is you didn't do that with your child. Because we've seen your child. Okay? So before you start looking down on someone, you need to realize that training means that sometimes a child's going to mess up. That's part of training. That's why they need training. So what you need to do is understand that and love and encourage that family that's in that mode of training, okay? Are you there in Proverbs 22? Look at verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse number 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. You got to understand this. All children are naturally not well behaved. Not all your neighbor's children, not all your friend's children, all children, including your children, are bad. In fact, let me just take it further. All people are bad. I think I read somewhere where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay, we're all sinners, children are bad. They're all naturally bad. That's how they come from the womb. You can blame your wife if you'd like, but it's everyone's fault. Are you there in Proverbs 22? Look at verse 15. Proverbs 22, look at verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Go to Proverbs 22, look at verse 6. Or you're there in Proverbs 22, just go up to verse 6. Parents must spend time training their children. And this is, unfortunately, what many parents fail to do. Proverbs 22:6. The Bible says, train. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word train, you know, training someone requires a lot of work. You ever had to train someone at work? You ever get frustrated and you end up doing it yourself? You know why? Because sometimes it's easier to just do it yourself than to teach someone else how to do it. You know, it's easier for me to take the trash out than to teach my boys how to take the trash out. I mean, I can do it faster. It's easier for me. See, we get this idea in our society, especially in the United States of America, that as long as my child is fed, clothed, and graduates high school, like that's some sort of great accomplishment, then I must be a good parent. A good parent trains their child. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from him. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend training your children? I didn't ask how much time do you spend with your child on the couch watching TV. That's not what I said. I said, how much time do you spend training a child? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And I'm not saying that having time of entertainment is bad with children. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is this. God has called us to train children. Look at verse 2. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 15, okay? Here's what you got to understand. Parents must learn to discipline, biblically discipline, their children. And let me tell you what biblical discipline is. Are you there in Proverbs 22, verse 15? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Look what it says. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The Bible teaches that parents should spank their children. Now, before some of you just cut me off right now. Well, I heard Oprah say, okay, well, Dr. Spock, or whatever his name is, today our society teaches, don't spank the children. Just talk to them. Just reason with them. Just have a conversation with them. You know, people that write those books have no children. You know why? You ever try to reason with a 2-year-old? You ever try to reason with a 3-year-old? Look, my 1-year-old daughter does not need to understand why she's not supposed to run out to the street. She's not at the level to understand that although she's the cutest thing around, a big semi-truck's not going to stop for her. Okay? She can't understand that. What she can understand is that when she sprints towards the road, mommy takes a little bit of a paddling to her bottom. She gets that. And it keeps her from running towards the road. Okay? The Bible teaches that you ought to spank your children. It's all throughout Scripture. Go to Proverbs 22. Look at verse 13. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Proverbs 23, 13. Withhold not correction from the child. For, notice this, if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now let me just say this. And it should have to be go unsaid, but in our society, unfortunately, it doesn't. When we're talking about spanking your children, we are not talking about you're beating your kids like some abusive drunk dad. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? Obviously, that's wrong. We're not saying you ought to take a closed fist and hit your child in the face. That is abuse. You are an idiot if you do that. You are a loser. You need to get something straight in your head if you beat your children that way. But you know, God has put a place in a child's body with a little bit of extra padding and a whole lot of nerve endings called their bottom. And you know that if done properly, you can take a hand or a paddle or a belt, if you so wish, and spank a child in a proper way. Let me tell you something. Let me teach you something about spanking. Okay? There are two extremes to spanking. You gotta understand this. The purpose of a spanking is that it should hurt, but it should not injure. Do you understand? A spanking should hurt, but it should not injure. Some people say, I'm gonna spank, you know, I've seen some ladies spank their kids. I'm gonna spank my kid. I mean, you think like, whoa, that kid's gonna get, you know. And it's like, you little, you know, they grab him and they take him, they put their pants down, and it's like, ah! Did you learn your lesson, Johnny? Did you learn your lesson, Billy? Look, that doesn't deter anyone. It needs to hurt. If it hurts, it'll keep them from wanting to do it again. But don't go on the extreme where you're injuring your children. If you're injuring your children, you're not doing something right. It should hurt, but not injure. But it should hurt. Are you? Where are you? Proverbs 22? 23? Look at verse 14. Proverbs 23, verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. You want to know why your kids are rebellious? I mean, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm really not. I'm actually trying to help those of you that still have young children, or those of you that don't have children. But you want to know why your 17, 18, 19, 21, 22-year-old is a punk? You want to know why? Because you failed to discipline them properly when they were 6 and 7 and 4 and 3. You failed to correct them when they were a child, and now they are in the body of an adult and out of control, and it's because you have been lied to by our society that tells you that you need to give them a timeout, or you need to talk to them, or you need to ground them. Look, you need to spank them. All right? Are you there in Proverbs 23? Look at verse 13. Proverbs 23:13. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Go to Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 19. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 19:18. Those of you that have never spanked your children before, if you're going to start, this is a good verse for you to write down or memorize or just understand. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Let me tell you something. Kids put on, man, they put on a show. I mean, you hear my kids crying and it's like, what is he doing? I haven't even started. Okay? Don't spare for their crying. You're doing them good. You gotta understand this, okay? Or go to Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. You say, well, I just don't think it's very loving. Just spank a child. Well, the problem with that statement is that the Bible disagrees with you. And whenever it's between God's philosophy and biblical doctrine, we need to go with the Bible. Proverbs 13:24 says this, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Done. That's it. I'm not going to spank you for 3 minutes. I don't spank my children because I love them so much. The Bible says you actually hate them. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. And for those of you that you're sitting there thinking, I can't believe I'm hearing this in 2000. What year is it? 13? 2013? I can't believe I'm hearing this. Someone's advocating spanking their children. Let me tell you something. And I wish I could explain to you, but I don't know that you can until you've experienced it. When my children are having a bad attitude, when my children are disobeying and not doing right, it is after a spanking that they are the most loving. I'm amazed. Almost every time I think to myself, why did I do this? Why did I spend the last 15 minutes trying to get them to stop? I should just spank them the first time, because whenever you spank them, something God has made something in our spirit that just takes in that. Because children, you got to understand this. What children need is security. What children need is to realize that there are boundaries and someone's watching out for them. And people say, well, when you spank your children, that's not very nice. Let me tell you something. Yelling at your children and cursing at your children and losing your temper because you said, little Billy, I told you, not you. If you can do that again, you're going to get a spanking. They do it again. You do it again, and then you just completely just flip out. I told you, and you start, that's abusive. When you tell a child, hey, listen, if you do this, you're going to get a spanking. spanking, and they do that, and then you calmly take them, and you put them on your lap, and you give them a spanking, and then you set them up, and you say, now listen, you weren't supposed to do that, you crossed the line, you got a spanking, daddy loves you, I spanked you because I love you. That's the loving way to discipline a child. People say, well, I just ground my children for a week. Is that what God does with you? Do you want to go, I send God, okay, I'm going to be mad at you for 7,000 years. I'm not going to let you forget what you did. Look, you know what a spanking does? It corrects the problem and then you can move on. It's done. You correct the problem and then you move on with life. You know what grounding your child, oh, I'm going to make him sit in the corner for an hour. So for an hour he has to remember, you know, you just, and every time you pass by, you sorry for what you did yet? Sorry for what you did? That's not what God does with you. Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that God, you know that God doesn't bring up your sins to you? You know who does that? The tempter. You know who does that? The devil. When you start hearing in your ear, you know, do you remember when you did that? That's not God. God, the Bible says, has forgotten your sin. God has put them in the sea of Israel. He says He won't remember them anymore. He'll remember them no more. Now God will punish you and say, let's move on. You know how you should discipline your child? Punish them. Say, I love you. Let's move on. The improper way is to drag it out. You're grounded for 7 weeks. And for 7 weeks, you're just going to be thinking about that one thing they did wrong. Just deal with it and move on. The proper way to discipline a child is to spank them. But you got to understand this. You know why most kids cannot sit still? Is because they do not have a parent teaching them to sit still. At home, they're allowed to run around and do whatever they want, like a bunch of crazy kids. At the store, they're allowed to run around and do whatever they want, like a bunch of crazy kids. There's no boundaries. There's nobody explaining to them. There are times when you sit. There are times when you pay attention. There are times when you just got to stop. You just got to focus. It's work, but you do it. And that's what a parent must do. If you're going to be part of a family integrated church, you're going to have to learn to discipline your kids. And like I said, we're not talking about beating them in an abusive way. But in a loving way, you need to discipline. But you got to understand this, okay? There's two parts to raising children. There's this discipline part. But let me tell you something. If you discipline your children, you spank your children, and that's all you ever do, you will ruin your children. Because there's another part that's equally as important. You must discipline your children, but you know what? You must also disciple your children. It's not enough to just beat them when they're bad. You must teach them how to do right. You must spend time with them. You must love them. Did you keep your finger in Deuteronomy 31? Deuteronomy 31? Deuteronomy 31, look at verse number 12. Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 12. People get this idea. Children can't learn the Bible. They need to go in a separate room and get it dumbed down. They need a dumbed down version of the Bible because they're dumb kids. That's a very bad way to look at your child. The Bible teaches otherwise. You got to understand this. Children can learn the Bible with adults. They do not need it dumbed down. Let me prove it to you. Are you there in Deuteronomy 31? Look at verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and, what's that say? Children. And thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, verse 13. And that their children, look what it says, verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn. Who may hear and learn? That the children may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. God said, get the men, get the women, get the children. And God says, and I'm counting. He said, I put more on the fact that the kids are going to get it than the adults. He said, gather everyone. But I'm more confident that the children are going to, the ones that know anything, they're going to hear and learn. You know why children hear and learn better than adults? Because they don't know anything. You know why you don't learn the Bible? Because every time I say something, you know, I say spanking. Well, Oprah said that you're not supposed to do it. See, you know too much, or you think you know too much. Adults have all these preconceived ideas. Well, that's not what I was taught by Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil said that you know, put him on a timeout. Kids don't have, they don't know anything. They're like a sponge. Anything you teach them, it comes from the Bible, they just grab it. They just, you know, the sad part of our children being raised for God, you know what the sad part is? It's not that they're not being raised for God. It's that a lot of times they have to live for God, not because of their parents, but in spite of their parents. Mom and dad are the worst obstacle to their spiritual growth. Your bad attitude and your unwillingness to learn the Bible, your bad example of not doing the things that the Bible says. A child, if they grow up to live for God, half the time you're praising God, they did it in spite of their parents. It ought not be so. Children can learn the Bible. Go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, towards the end of the Old Testament, there is the book of the major prophets, the first book of the major prophets, Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter number 28. Look at verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. I don't think that children can learn the Bible. Okay. Isaiah chapter 28, look at verse 9. Look what Isaiah said. Let me ask you a question. And don't raise your hand. This is just for you to answer in your mind. Have you ever read the book of Isaiah? And if you have, was it a walk in the park? Isaiah is a pretty difficult book. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Isaiah. It's pretty deep. Okay? I mean, I'm telling you, as a pastor of Berry Baptist Church, I read Isaiah and I'm like, what? Sometimes I'm just like, what is going on? Okay? Isaiah, I mean, he dealt with some deep issues. And look what Isaiah said of his own ministry. Isaiah 28, 9, verse 9. Isaiah 28, 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. He said, a child that is being nursed by their mother, that's the person I want to teach knowledge. That's the person I want to teach doctrine. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Pastor Jimenez, you got to have a children's ministry. Because what if the kids, they don't grasp the whole sermon? Here's what I always say. When somebody says to me, what if the kids don't grasp the whole sermon? I always say the same thing. Adults don't grasp the whole sermon. Some adults don't get everything we're saying. And I'm not. That's not a slam on the adult. I'm saying there are all sorts of spiritual maturity here. A new Christian may not grasp everything we're saying. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will make sure they grasp what they need. And the Holy Spirit will make sure a child grasps what they need. And to think that, you think that a child... I'm going to ask God that He would allow me to say this in the right spirit. Sometimes people will look at someone like Pastor Jimenez and they'll say, you can't teach me anything because you're so young. Well, first of all, the Bible says that no man despises thy youth. But do you really think that my sons, Joshua and Joel, when they're 27 years old, after being raised in a church like this, after hearing preaching like this, three times a week, for their whole lives, after having family Bible time every night at home where dad sits down and teaches the Bible to them, after having family Bible time every day with mom at the beginning of the day of their homeschooling, do you really think that they're going to be at the same level as someone who's 40 years old, but they've been saved for 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with physical age. You say, well, do you really think... Look, I'm not here to minimize an adult that just got saved 3 weeks ago. I'm just telling you this. Just because someone's young, if they've been raised with the Bible, if they have learned the Bible, if they have verses memorized, if they have chapters memorized, if they've read through the Bible, and they've been trained up in the right way, they can have a lot of knowledge. And a child should not be minimized and say, well, they're just a kid, they don't understand. You'd be surprised what they understand. I'll be talking to my kids. They'll be expounding upon the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ and everything. I said, where did you get that from? They're listening. They don't look like they're listening, but they're listening. They're getting. And by the way, let that be a warning to you, mom and dad. You're watching something, you think your kids aren't paying attention. Oh, they're paying attention. You're saying something. Oh, those kids, they're not paying attention. They're watching. They're learning. They're recording it. They're smarter than we think. Isaiah said, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Children can learn the Bible. Number two. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. You're there in Deuteronomy 31. Go to chapter 6. A parent in a family integrated church needs to, we said, discipline their children, but they need to also disciple, train their children. You got to understand this. Mom and dad, it is your job to teach your kids the Bible. Are you there in Deuteronomy chapter number 6? Look at verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in their heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So who's going to teach them diligently to their children? You. Did you just grasp what we read? Let's read it again, verse 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. He's talking about the Word of God. And thou, does it say, and the pastor shall teach them diligently unto thy children? No. Does it say the Sunday school teacher shall teach them diligently unto thy children? No. Does it say the youth pastor will teach them? No. It says, and thou shall teach them diligently unto thy children. And look what it says, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. It's your job, mom and dad, to teach your kids the Bible. It's not the job of the church to teach your children the Bible. It is the job of the church to come alongside you, mom, to come alongside you, dad, to equip you, mom, to equip you, dad, to train your kids. It's not the church's job to train your child. God gave that child to you. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. We were just there. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. It's your job to train your children, not the Sunday school teacher. It's your job to train your children, not the youth pastor. It's your job to train the churchman, not the youth worker. It's your job, mom and dad. Let me ask you a question, moms and dads. How much time do you spend teaching your kids the Bible? You got to consider it. Look, you only have 18, 20 years with those kids? Are you wasting them away? Are you there in Ephesians chapter 6? Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, my concern is this, that there are going to be some kids that come to Verity Baptist Church, grow up to become teenagers, or young adults, are going to go off into the world, are going to go off into drugs and alcohol and a party life. And you're going to come back to Pastor Jimenez and say, it was because you didn't have a youth group. And I'm going to say, it's because you didn't spank them. It's because you didn't have a Sunday school. And I'm going to say, it's because you never, because they never saw you reading the Bible. That's the problem. It's because you let them have whatever access they wanted to Facebook, and whatever access they wanted to the internet, and whatever access they wanted to the television. And you never put any boundaries for your kids. And you never did any training. And you never disciplined. And you never discipled. Let me tell you right now, don't come to me when your 18 and 19 year old brat is living in the world and say that it's because we didn't have a Sunday school. It is your job to teach your kids the Bible. Not the pastor, not the pastor's wife, not the workers at the church. It's your job. Now, I'm here to help you. I'm here to train you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to equip you so you can train the next generation. That's how it works.
My kid went off to the world because you didn't have a Christian school.
Went off to the world because they didn't have a Christian home. It is the job of the parent to train the child. And there's two sides, discipline and discipleship. Teach them the Bible. You know, I thank God that I grew up in a home where I saw my mom and dad pray. I thank God, you know why Pastor Jimenez has family time with his kids? Because we had family time in my home. I thank God that I was taught the Bible. I thank God that we would talk about the Bible at my home. I thank God that, you know, and we did fun things and we did other things, but the Bible was the priority at my home. The Word of God, church was the priority. I never woke up on a Sunday morning and thought to myself, I wonder if we're going to go to church today. Mom, are we going to church today? That would have got me a spanking right there. I never had to think, are we going to church on Sunday morning? Oh, what? It's Wednesday night. Are we going to church? I remember we used to play baseball when I was a kid. We're in Little League. You know that at 6:45. It didn't matter if it was the third inning, the sixth inning. It didn't matter if it was the ninth inning. We were down by three, and the bases were loaded, and I was up to bat. If it was 6:45, it's time for us to get to church. Period. End of story. And you know what that taught me? There should be a priority to the church. You know why I don't skip church to watch some baseball game? Because I was taught as a child to prioritize church in my life. You know why I don't skip? You know why Pastor Matt doesn't skip church to work? Because I was taught from a child that it is more important to serve God than to make a dollar. And you know what? God has taken care of us financially. You know why, Pastor? And that's what I'm teaching my kids, and that's what you should teach to your kids. But you know what? When you have your kids see you skipping church for a baseball game, when they see you skipping church to make a dollar, when they see you skipping church to go hunting or do whatever you're going to do, let me tell you something. They're learning. Church is not that important. And then you're going to come to me and say, my child isn't in church today. I think it's because you didn't have a youth pastor. I'm going to grab a mirror and say, you're the youth pastor. They're your kids. Dad, it is your job to pastor that home. Mom, it is your job to shepherd those children. And we're going to help you and do everything we can. But it's up to you, parents. We said, number one, the position of a family integrated church. We said, number two, the parents of a family integrated church. Position is what we believe. The parents, they just need to be warned. There is something expected. If you're not going to walk into Verity Baptist Church with some child saying, where do I drop this one off? Where does this one go? Can you keep them overnight? No, you're going to have to teach them. You know that my kids, you know one of the main reasons we have Bible time at our house is because it gives us an opportunity every night to teach them to sit, to be quiet, to listen to the Bible. So that when they come to church, they can sit, be quiet, listen to the Bible. Are my kids perfect? No, we're training. What do you need to do? Train. Number three, the practice of a family integrated church. How does all this work? How does it work? In a perfect world, what would it look like? Well, there's a few things that need to be done at home. Number one, at home, parents must spend quality time with their children. Don't ignore your kids. Spend time with them. Get to know them. Get to see what their interests are. Love them. Parents must spend quality time with their children. Parents must have daily Bible reading and prayer time with their children. Parents must lovingly and consistently discipline, spank their children. Parents must teach their children to be well behaved. At home, at church, at the grocery store, children need to learn self-control. Because children that do not learn how to be self-controlled at 7 will not learn any self-control at 17. What must be done at church? Church must have a facility to help with training. That's why at Verity Baptist Church, we have a mother baby room. Because we understand that kids are going to be bad. So what do? They can go in the mother baby room. You can go in there and correct them if you need to. You can go in there and do what you need to do. But it's there. And by the way, at Verity Baptist Church, I don't know if you ever noticed this, Pastor Jimenez is not some prima donna up here. Or you better not make any noise or it's going to distract me. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've gotten pretty good at just preaching, no matter what. I mean, the building could be burning down, and I'm going to keep preaching, okay? I'm not that worried. You said, well, if my kid makes some, I'm not that worried about it. I don't even hear it. It doesn't even faze me. You say, well, it bothers me. Okay, a couple things you can do. You say, well, I don't have any kids, and my kids being in the service bother me. Let me give you some advice. You can sit up front. That'd be good. You can take notes. That'll help you focus. You can go to bed early on Saturday night. That'll help. You can have a good attitude and realize that these kids are the next generation and their training is needed for our society. Church people must not look down at children in the service who are learning to sit still. Number three, churches must encourage families to learn and serve together. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm trying to encourage you to learn and serve with your children. You say, I don't feel very encouraged. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm encouraging you. The problem with modern day children's ministries is that modern day children's ministries are not found in Scripture. Modern day children's ministries provide opportunities for predators. Modern day children's ministries remove the responsibility from the families to teach and discipline their children with the Bible. The advantages of a family integrated church is it follows the biblical example. It keeps children in the safest environment possible while at a church. And it encourages and equips parents to teach and train their children as God intended. You want to know why we're a family integrated church? Because it's right. I didn't say it's easy. Just keep this in mind. If something's easy, usually the easiest way is not the right way. I didn't say it was easy, but I did say this. It's right. And what to God that we would take the ministry that God has given us to these children seriously and set them up for the best success that they could have in their spiritual lives. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Lord, I pray you'd help. I know this sermon's very unique type sermon. Dealing with a subject of family integrated churches. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize why we are what we are. And that those that say, well, I don't agree with it, that they would at least understand why we take the position that we do. And Father, I pray you'd help the parents to just take the responsibility that they have seriously. To love those kids. To train those kids. To teach those kids. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.